I'm joined by Elias Mohanna from Brown University, who's the author of a Lebanese political blogger, Kifka Nabki. Elias, can you first of all set out who General Wissam al-Hassan was?
Sure. Wissam al-Hassan was a very important security chief with close ties to the Western-backed and anti-Syrian political coalition known as March 14th. He was a very close associate of former Prime Minister Saad Hariri, and also a former bodyguard and security chief for Saad Hariri's father, Rafiq al-Hariri, who was killed in 2005 in a massive car bomb, not unlike the one that killed Wissam al-Hassan on Friday.
And where does his death leave Lebanon now? How combustible is it?
Well, I think this is really the first major sign that the Syrian uprising is going to have the inevitable effects on Lebanon that everybody thought it would. Wissam al-Hassan was the director of the powerful information branch of the Internal Security Forces, which is basically Lebanon's police force. So he was the director of police intelligence and had recently made a very high-profile arrest of a former minister with close ties to the Syrian regime, Michel Smaha. He had arrested him for conspiring to blow up, or to conspiring to transport explosives to Lebanon in a plot that would have targeted various sectarian figures in the country, and this arrest was accompanied by tremendously compelling evidence and a confession by Michel Smaha. So it seems very logical to read his assassination in the context of that arrest a couple months ago.
Are you in any doubt that the Syrian authorities are behind this?
I think it's healthy to always have doubt when we don't have any evidence. On the other hand, there is a long history of assassinating figures who either in deed or in word acted in ways contrary to Syrian interests in Lebanon. Between 2005 and 2007 or 2008, several anti-Syrian politicians were assassinated. And I think Wissam al-Hassan, was very involved, not just recently with the Michel Smaha arrest, but also a couple of years ago, isolating the telecommunications network that was used to track Rafiq al-Hariri before his death and pointing the finger at Hezbollah. So he played a very high-stakes kind of game. And so I think that the most logical context in which to view his death is certainly Syria's involvement in Lebanon.
Do you think Hezbollah was involved?
There's no way to know that. The interesting thing about Wissam al-Hassan is that he actually had very close ties to Hezbollah. We know that from the WikiLeaks diplomatic corpus that was released. We also know that from leaked documents from the UN Special Tribunal for Lebanon, which show that prior to Rafiq Hariri's assassination, Wissam al-Hassan had been in regular contact with one of Hezbollah's security chiefs. We know that that relationship was continued, as recently as 2010, I believe 2008, when Wissam al-Hassan was tasked by Hariri to try to broker a deal with Hezbollah. He was invited to Damascus in 2010 as part of a rapprochement between the various Lebanese political parties. So he was somebody who really lived in the spaces in between Damascus and Beirut.
So his relations with Hezbollah would suggest their involvement is unlikely?
I think it's impossible to say. I'm not privy to any kind of intelligence, obviously. I'm just an observer. I think that we just have to wait and see if anything can be pieced together at this point. I think it is fair to say that Hezbollah is not does not gain by a situation in which Lebanon is pulled into sectarian violence. I think that Hezbollah has really tried to insulate Lebanon from the Syrian crisis to some extent. And so this also would not necessarily be Hezbollah's style.
Well, how going back to my earlier question, how combustible is Lebanon over this? There are at least two people died overnight. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I think Lebanon is very combustible. In general, it is combustible. But this current situation is especially dangerous because I think of the fractiousness of the Sunni community and the lack of control, really, that Saad Hariri and his future movement can exert over certain elements of the population who are very angry, who want to see more of a proactive stance in support of the Syrian revolution, and who are just fed up with, just assassination after assassination, and by what they perceive as Hezbollah's military dominance and their humiliation of the Sunni community. So I think that this is, this could easily become the straw that broke the camel's back. It could lead to the kind of civil violence that everybody's been trying to prevent. So we just have to see how it plays out over the next couple of days.
How do you think it will play out over the next couple of days? What are the key pointers?
I think that the future movement is making all the right noises at this point about trying to contain the situation. The army has been deployed. And I think that as long as there's consensus among all these players on opposite ends of the political spectrum, cooler heads are going to prevail and they'll get a handle on the situation. That, to me, that's an encouraging sign that we've seen Saad Hariri and other Sunni leaders really try to rein in the more radical demands of some of their followers. I do think that Hariri does not want to assume power at this point. I think he's very happy to be in the opposition, given all that's happening in Syria. So if they can find a way of just containing the situation and keeping Miketti in power, then they may be able to return in some ways to the status quo.
You seem quite relaxed about it.
Maybe that's just a brave face, but I think that at this point, everybody's trying to game out the long-term scenario. I think the Future Movement and March 14th are really betting on the long-term likelihood that Bashar al-Assad will not be able to survive. And so it's always a difficult thing in Lebanese politics. You're trying to juggle so many different factors, foreign intervention, regional issues, in addition to a very combustible and unpredictable local scene. So maybe I'm also very relaxed because I'm not. I have the luxury of not being in Lebanon right now, where people are under tremendous pressure and are afraid for their livelihoods, afraid for their lives. I think that there is a lot of reason to be very concerned.
Okay, Lars, I'll let you get to your class. Thanks very much.